William Morrow and Harper Audio present It Had to Be a Duke, a novel by Vivian Lorette, performed by Faye Dell. To my parents and sisters, who've taught me so much about being human, and to my sons, who've taught me that the most important thing in life is unconditional love. Chapter 1. At the time, climbing out of the window seemed like the only practical option. In hindsight, however, Verity Hartley wished she hadn't forgotten that Father had broken several rungs of the ivy-enshrouded trellis when playing Romeo to Mother's Juliet last week. Now, she was hanging by her fingertips, her feet scurrying in mid-air. And it was all her sister's fault. They had been rehearsing another play when she'd passed by the drawing room a moment ago. Through the open doorway, she'd glimpsed Honoria standing in the centre of the room like a queen, crowned with a twist of golden hair, and ordering three of her admirers to position a chaise longue on the raised dais in the far corner.
"Slightly left of centre stage, if you please. No, the other left, between the papier-mâché columns. Now, angle it just so, a bit more to the right. Back a sliver, and there. Perfect."
If there was one thing true about Honoria, it was that she always knew what she wanted. Althea had been standing at the desk, her thick plait of mahogany hair falling carelessly over her shoulder as she scratched hasty amendments onto the pages of another script.
"I must have a third fury to complete this scene. Otherwise, I might as well fashion the bell pull into a noose and save myself the indignity of failure."
As the youngest, at 18, Thea erred on the side of melodrama, forever complaining that her days on this mortal plane were trudging by endlessly without a modicum of excitement to stir her soul.
"Where is our sister, by the by? Not even she could make a hash of this part."
And that was when Verity had decided to dash across the hall to the music room and through the open window. Granted, it wasn't her most brilliant decision, but she would sooner wear a chemise fashioned from pine cones than be cajoled into another production. Then again, she thought, darting a glance two stories down, past the hem of her olive skirts and sailing feet to the spinny juniper spire below, death by way of impalement would be another option. She gulped and turned back to the trellis, redoubling her efforts, though none of this would have been necessary if her sisters just understood. But that wish was futile. The pair of them had been born with the famous Hartley silver tongues and flair for the dramatic. Whenever putting on a show for guests after dinner, they enthralled their audiences. With the delivery of a single impassioned word or a graceful feint onto a well-placed chaise longue, they could make an old termagant shed a tear, and the most cynical ogre sigh like a lovelorn swain. As for Verity, her performances were about as adept as those of a potted ficus, if said ficus had been left in a dark closet, without water, for a year. Which seems like the length of time she'd been dangling against the side of the house like a sad scrap of forgotten bunting. As she struggled to find a secure foothold, the slender wooden slats dug sharply into the cushion of her palms. She hissed, biting into her bottom lip, and briefly imagined her funeral. Father would put on an excellent performance, clutching his heart and recounting the many embarrassing tales of her childhood, as he often did for company. Mother would join him, walking sylph-like in expertly draped black silk, and lean upon his arm, her voice poignantly breaking. And by the time they finished, there wouldn't be a dry eye in the chapel. Truman, the eldest and her champion, would return from his latest voyage and stand stoically off to the side. Honoria would wear a veil, concealing her beauty out of a final act of courtesy from one sister to another. Thea would sniff at proper intervals, all the while.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?